from the rain the other day, the pool cover got all water on, and it's probably not good if it freezes on the pool cover. I have to set the pool pump to circulate at night.
Right, but
yes. I don't think it's going to be too bad.
I mean, it might be below
32.
The last I saw it was like 29. It's going to go down to 29, but probably not for very long.
Very similar. Hi. I'm just realizing that I need to plug this in. It was still, it's using the mic that's on here, but it'll be much better for the people who want to view it later. Including any of you if you want to view it later. Plug that in. Good. Tov. So welcome, welcome. I want to offer this week as a inquiry exercise that you can do at any moment, is just to ask yourself the question, how to approach this moment? How to approach this moment? So with the question, it's kind of nice because it's not, you're not telling yourself how to approach this moment. You're opening to the wisdom that will come through just when you ask the question. If you notice, what happens when you... I'll catch you up. So we're talking about this practice that I'm offering for this week, which is to ask yourself the question, how to approach this moment? Just to open that question for yourself. And if you notice, just right now when you do it, ask yourself, how to approach this moment? What happens when you do that? Is there some kind of... what happens in your nervous system, in your consciousness when you ask that? Yeah?
Stop.
You feel like a halting?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, the brain stops.
Everything stops.
Everything stops. So it's almost like you're... That sounds like a description of entering into the present. Nice. You feel that too?
Yeah, there's a stillness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a settling kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Focus.
Right. Nice. Nice. Anybody else? The way I experience it is, I mean, I would say the same as what you said, but I might add also that whatever it is I happen to be doing has a certain energy to it, right? And that energy has a certain amount of consciousness in it and a certain amount of unconsciousness. By unconsciousness, what I mean is that the intention of whatever it is I'm doing tends to be dominant. And if I say how to approach this moment, suddenly this extra level of consciousness comes in and there's a stillness, there's a settling, because it's similar to, not the same as, but similar to if you imagine that you're in your house and maybe something is frustrating. Maybe you can't find something or something didn't work or whatever. Let's say you get a little upset and you're like, let's say you get a little wrangled up, okay? And all of a sudden, one of the walls of your house disappears and there's a whole audience sitting there watching. Right? When you bring in this idea of other people watching, then sort of automatically you yourself are watching more, right? Suddenly you have a lot more control of yourself spontaneously without even trying when there's another presence there that you care about, right? There are people in our lives probably that we don't mind getting all out of control with. But then there are others who, if they would suddenly appear, you'd straighten up immediately. And maybe if you're with those people that you don't mind getting out of control with and they tell you to get into control, that might make you even more out of control, right? Because what are you doing telling me to relax or telling me to be aware of myself? But then all of a sudden someone else comes in and just their presence alone, all of a sudden I have the ability to be to rise above whatever impulses are coming. It's not that those impulses aren't there, it's just that they're trivial now compared to this other consciousness, this other presence that's come in. So it just goes to show us that we always have this higher presence. It's just a matter of, is it being brought in or not? Is it being brought in? And are we living with this higher awareness, or does it kind of get usurped? Right? Because that awareness is there, but it can easily get, there's different metaphors for it. You can think of it as getting covered up, or you can think of it, I think of it as getting usurped, meaning the energy of consciousness gets transformed into thoughts and emotions, and that's all it's doing. But as soon as you ask yourself the question, how to approach this moment? It's a wonderful technique to use questions.
That's not quite the same as how do I approach this moment.
Seems
different to me somehow.
It does seem different to me too. It depending on how you take it, it could not be different. But how does it seem different to you when you use those two different?
How do I leads to some kind of strategy, at least for me. How to approach the moment is less defined and more amorphous sometimes.
That's how it feels to me too. That's what I was going to say. It's possible that if you say, how do I approach this moment, and your mind starts strategizing, that might lead into an idea or a construction in your mind of how to do it, which might be helpful. But on the other hand, if you simply say how to approach this moment and leave it open, right? So you're kind of open, waiting for the answer, then you may experience that spontaneously you're already approaching the moment much better just by being open, because you're now in a state of openness. You know? So I might suggest, you know, you might want to do both of them, because if you first are open, that might be enough. You might not have to go further than that. But then again, if you're dealing with a complex situation, you may then need to bring in some strategy. But the strategy is going to be a lot more effective if it's coming from a relaxed and open place, as opposed to a thinking in order to get there kind of place. Like, I need to get to the strategy that's coming into my mind. So where does this question come from? So this week's parsha is called Vaigash, means he approached. He approached. And it's the climax of the Joseph story. And it's describing Yehuda. It says, Vaigash Yehuda Elav. Yehuda approached him, meaning he approached Joseph. Now, this is a very difficult situation for Yehuda, because he doesn't know it's Yosef. All he knows is that this ruler is standing before him, who has a lot more power than he does. And this ruler is saying, I'm going to take Binyamin as a slave, your youngest brother. And it's implied that Yehuda and the brothers are full of guilt and terror that they would bring, not so much for Binyamin, but for bringing such suffering on their father, Yaakov, Jacob, Israel, because they had already, they thought Joseph was dead. They had sold him into slavery and lied to their father. Their father thinks Joseph is dead. So they're guilty for that. And Yehuda, probably the most in the previous parts of the story, it implies that Yehuda has had a transformation and a change, and that he is a better person now. So it says, Vaigash Yehuda. Yehuda approaches him, and he comes with humility and with vulnerability and openness, and he tells the truth. He tells the story about what happened, not the whole story, but part of it, to try to appeal to the heart of this person that he's standing before. Right? And there's an interesting duality about the qualities that he expresses that I think is helpful also for this question of how to approach this moment, which is that on one hand, he is surrendered, right? He's not pushing. He's not trying to control Yosef, who he doesn't know is Yosef, right? He's not saying, come on, Yosef, please. No, he's not saying that. He's not being aggressive. He's not trying to manipulate. He's surrendered, but he's also appealing, right? So he has a goal. It's not like he's surrendered and he has no goal. Whatever you say is fine with me. Not doing that. He has a goal. He wants to change the guy's mind. He wants reality to shift in his favor. But he's also coming at it from an open and surrendered point of view with full knowledge that he may not get what he wants. So that's an interesting combination of qualities. Because most of the time in our lives, at any given moment, we do have some goal. We're not just surrendered in the sense of like, yeah, whatever. You know?
Some people do that.
Yeah, sometimes. And there are moments of that, right, where there's no held goal in the mind. There's just a relaxing. And meditation has that quality of just being with what is. At the same time, there is a goal, though. To say that there's no goal is a little disingenuous, because the goal is, just to bring it to presence in meditation, the goal is that you are sitting and being with what is. That's the goal. There's an intention behind there. And yet, the intention has this quality of openness and surrenderedness to it at the same time. So, this is a quality of presence. Basically, it's describing a quality of presence that we can bring to any situation. No matter what we're trying to do, there's a way of doing it that is a kind of pushing and a kind of manipulating, a kind of negativity if it doesn't go the way we want it to, and even negativity before it goes anyway. Right? Like, it better go the way I want it to, right? That's a natural kind of egoic impulse. That's an ego impulse. So what Yehuda is displaying here is how to have a goal, how to be trying to change things, but not from a place of ego. That's what's so beautiful about this passage, I think. And then, here's the kicker. What's the first thing that Yehuda says to Yosef? Vayomer bi Adoni. Does anybody know what that means? So be literally means in me. B means in. It can also mean with. Like Bereshit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But E, the suffix E, means me. So B means in me. Adoni means my Lord. Now, if you look in the English translation of that, it usually says something like, if you please, my Lord. Like, it's an expression. You know, it's an expression of being supplicant. Okay? Welcome, welcome. Do you want to come here? Okay, great. You might have to just back. Yeah, there we go. Just so you're not. So we're talking a little bit about this parsha. So Yehuda says, "Be Adoni," which is an idiom, right? It's an expression of like, "If you please, sir," you know. But what does it literally mean? It means, "My Lord, you are in me." What an amazing little phrase there, to summarize this whole attitude that we're talking about. Because on one hand, Adoni can mean the divine, right? The divine is not out there. The divine is in me, right? I'm approaching this moment. I have a goal, right? I'm gonna try to change things to make things better for me. But I'm not doing it as a little separate fragment in the universe trying to fight the big thing called reality. I'm first of all, before I do anything, before I make my appeal and I try to accomplish my goal, I remember, be Adoni, right? the same force or the same reality that is embodied in everything that exists is also embodied in me, and this very consciousness that's looking out of my eyes in this moment or hearing in my ears, thinking these thoughts, is Adoni, is Adonai. There's only one reality, right? Be Adoni. So that's one level of it. It occurs to me there's another level of it too, which is that if you don't think of it as a direct allusion to the divine, but just think of it as the person that's right there, then what is it saying? Adoni, my Lord, it's an expression of humility, right? He's saying that whatever beings are before me right now, right, whatever the situation is, it is the way it is. So I, first of all, surrender to it. Adoni, it's my Lord. And guess what? Everything I'm perceiving is part of my perception. That means it's part of my consciousness. That means it's in me. It's part of me. So right now, everything you're perceiving, I talk about this a lot, but it's good to remember this again and again, because it's not intuitive, but it's extremely transformational. Just to remember that everything we're perceiving right now, right? You perceive each other, you see me sitting here, the room around you, your body, everything, your feelings and your thoughts, whether it's on the inside, it seems like it's on the inside as feelings and thoughts, or seems like it's outside, whether it seems like it's emotional or physical, anything that's in your experience is part of your consciousness. It's made, literally made out of consciousness in your experience of it. Anyway, right? So it's all part of you. So how do you approach, how to approach this moment? Knowing, be Adoni. Everything that I perceive in this moment is part of me right now. The one reality that we call God or the divine is literally in me and is manifesting as me. And then how does that affect how you approach this moment? So that's the invitation for this week. You can do it again and again, all day long. How to approach this moment. And then you might also bring in, be Adoni.
What was the Vayomer?
Oh, Vayomer just means he said.
Oh.
Yeah, Vayomer, he said, be Adoni.
Okay.
Yeah. So I thought we'd chant a little bit, Be Adoni. So as we chant, you can bring to mind these things. See if you can get the feeling in your heart and in your gut, letting that surrenderedness kind of settle with each repetition of the words, Be Adoni. God is within me. And also the reality of everything I'm perceiving is all part of me. It's all within me. It's in this space of awareness that you are. Thank you. bringing right hand to your heart. And feeling this attitude, be Adoni. Being surrendered and offering your honor, acknowledgement, acceptance of how this moment is. To give permission to reality as it arises, to be as it is, from the heart. And expressing this kavana, chanting Lecha, breathing in. Lecha. And also bringing left hand to your belly. And once again, be Adoni. Your consciousness, your awareness, is the awareness of reality itself. God waking up in you, be Adoni. So bringing this consciousness more deeply into your body, feeling down into your legs and knees and feet. Be Adoni, the divine is within this body. Sensing lower back and belly. Up into the lungs and heart and chest. Shoulders and neck. Filling your arms, your hands and your fingers. Filling your face and your skull, all the nerves in your brain, your spine, your nervous system. Bringing a little smile to your lips. Be Adoni, the life force of the divine, filling your whole form. And resting on the flow of your breathing. That through our intention to be conscious of the body, consciousness itself is being served. We raise the consciousness of the whole world just by being more conscious in our own bodies. And so the expression of this with Naase, breathing in. Naase. Keeping left hand on the belly, bringing right hand to touch the forehead. So we have framed the upper and lower parts of the body. And be Adoni. Everything within our perception right now, from the distant sounds of the cars, sounds that come from outside this room, to the sounds inside this room, into the sensations of your body, the vibrations of any emotion, and the rising and passing of thought, is all be. It's all in me. Me meaning not the little me, but the vast and open field of awareness that is what is experiencing everything right now. Chanting Venishma, breathing in. Venishma. You can kiss fingers, relax your hand. Just taking care to have your body in an alert position. Just enough tension to keep you sitting as straight as you can, whatever's comfortable for you, but thinking of that general direction of spine straight, head on top of the spine. Relaxing excess tension, but keeping enough tension just to keep your body alert and straight. Atahu, the fullness of presence, the fullness of this moment is reality, is the divine. Going in your mind, and this is also a good reminder for us, if anybody needs to silence their cell phone, just to turn off the sound on there. I forget to say that in the beginning. Easy to forget to do, but a nice thing to do for meditation. So as we sit, allowing the vibration of the phrase Atahu to point your awareness generously into your body, generously giving awareness to your breathing, generously giving awareness to whatever sounds arise in the environment. Knowing that all perception happens within this open field that you are, that it's all be Adoni. And if you notice your mind wandering into other directions, so when you notice that, you just gently, effortlessly, but also intentionally and firmly bring yourself back to simply vibrating Atahu, And we'll sit for about 18 minutes. And closing once again with the three portals, right hand to your heart. Be Adoni, surrendering, offering awareness to this moment as it is in its fullness with Lecha, breathing in. Lecha. Left hand on the belly, bringing awareness to dwell in the temple of the body, feeling the flow of the breathing with Naase, breathing in. Naase. And right hand touching forehead, aware of the space of awareness beyond the body. Vinishma, breathing in. Vinishma. Amen. Atahu. Osei shalom bimromav. Hu yaasei shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'al kol yoshvei tevel v'imru. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And as you go through the week, try bringing it to mind, how to approach this moment. Everybody should have a blessed week. And what's davening tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the last day of Hanukkah.
Last day of Hanukkah.
If we get a minyan, we read Torah. So good.
Oh, great. Great. Beautiful, beautiful. And sending blessings and love to all those who tuned in today. It looks like we got three folks on there. Laura and Bon and one other person that I can't see. Let me see if I can do this and see. No. All right, well, there's a third person, so blessings to you too. Lots of love.